WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? I am your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood on this Wednesday, April 2nd, 2014. You know what? When I went home yesterday and I popped down on the couch and relaxed for the night, you know, I was kind of disappointed that I did not get to play my my April Fool's trick on you guys yesterday. I totally forgot about it. There was so much going on yesterday, but I had a good one up my sleeve. And now the moment is gone, but hey, it happens. But boy, oh boy, do we have a great show in store for you today. We have a ton to talk about, including Malik McDowell, folks. I'm a bit out of breath because I just had to run down and hand off the camera, our current sports camera, to Alex Sharp, production assistant, as Mark D'Antonio is holding a press conference to address the Malik McDowell signing. Malik McDowell, if you don't know, is a five-star football recruit in the state of Michigan. And he tweeted yesterday, tweeted this morning, I should say, that he signed his national letter of intent with the Spartans at 11:12 p.m. That's about 45 minutes before the deadline hit for midnight. So McDowell is coming to MSU. And, of course, that's the talk of the town because, if you know, Malik McDowell was the player that, during National Signing Day, it looked as though he had the press conference at his school. He addressed all of the students and all of the teachers there, and his dad was also there at that signing. But what the document that he signed was not the official national letter of intent. And, it's been a lot of drama that surrounds McDowell due to the fact that originally, his parents had said that they did not want their son attending Michigan State University. And eventually his dad came around, but his mom was really like, you're not going there. And she said that, she experienced she had a bad experience during a visit up here at Michigan State University. And that's kind of what swayed her decision for Malik not to attend. But Malik, he stuck to his guns, and eventually, here we go. He signed with Michigan State. So now Mark D'Antonio, I believe he just took the podium, a 1 o'clock press conference to address the signing of Malik McDowell. We'll talk about the whole drama surrounding Malik and what his signing means for the MSU football team later on in the hour. You don't want to miss that. If you got any thoughts on it, you know the number, 517-355-9527. And today we have we're doing a pretty cool giveaway today because we have some ticket giveaways for those callers that call in. If you call in on today's Current Sports throughout the entire hour, you will be entered with a chance to win some pretty cool tickets here. Softball tickets. The Michigan State softball team, they will be taking on Michigan on Saturday, April 14th. And on Sunday, April 13th, if you want to win tickets to, hopefully the weather is nice for that day. If you want to win tickets to possibly attend those two games and be entered with the chance to possibly win those tickets, you can do so by calling in to Current Sports today and giving your thoughts on anything we talk about on the show. You know the number, 517-355-9527. And actually tonight, I will be giving away two pairs of those tickets to two lucky individuals during our Current Sports TV taping as I sit down with former MSU men's basketball player Tim Bogracus. You can sign up to be a part of the live studio audience tonight by signing up for free online at WKAR.org. So if you want to win those tickets, call in or come tonight for tonight's Current Sports TV taping. We will announce the winners for these tickets next week, Tuesday, April 8th. So you don't want to miss that. Okay. And also later on the hour, we will be discussing really unfortunate news when it comes to a certain MSU women's basketball player, which I will talk about in just a sec. And also our Barbershop Wednesday topic, folks. This should be an interesting one, to say the least. Originally, when I looked at this subject, when it first hit the waves of the sports world, I said to myself, it's pretty crafty. It's pretty smart in a way. And the issue that I'm talking about is flopping, folks. Flopping, more so in the NBA. You really see it in college. You do see it in college basketball, but not as much as the NBA game. But flopping, we've all seen it. I mean, LeBron James does it all the time. I mean, oh my goodness, he does. He's the king of flopping, if you ask me. But not only the king of basketball, but the king of flopping too. But I mean, we've seen players, you know, not even really get hit and act like they just got hit ran over by a train. I mean, it happens all the time. Brandon Jennings of the Detroit Pistons, he actually is the most recent player to get fined for flopping. What are your thoughts on flopping? Should players get fined for it? What do you think? That's our Barbershop Wednesday topic today. Again, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Okay, well, let's kick the show off with our current sports quick hit headliners for this April 2nd, 2014. Again, remind you all that it took almost 2 months beyond National Signing Day, but Malik McDowell has his school, and Michigan State football has its five-star recruiting centerpiece. How about that? McDowell, again, he's a stud defensive end from Southfield High School. He tweeted this morning that he signed his national letter of intent with the Spartans at 11:12 p.m. Again, that's 45 minutes before the deadline was scheduled for signing of such a letter. Now, McDowell, he could have still attended MSU without signing a national letter of intent. But, folks, this makes it official. Again, Mark D'Antonio is holding his press conference to address the signing of McDowell as we speak at the Kara Bell Smith Center on the campus of Michigan State University. Current sports production assistant Alex Sharg is there getting footage from that. Those who attend tonight's Current Sports TV taping will get to see and hear what D'Antonio had to say about it. So you don't want to miss that. And also, unfortunate news when it comes to the Michigan State women's basketball team. Michigan State women's basketball redshirt junior Madison Williams, she suffered a tear in her a torn ACL, another one, folks, in her right knee. The injury was revealed, and surgery was performed on Thursday, March 27th of last week. Typical recovery time is 4 to 6 months. It is the fourth ACL injury for Williams, as she previously tore her right ACL prior to the 2010-11 season and missed all but three games in the 2011-2012 season and all of the 2013 season with two separate ACL tears in her left knee. Now, Williams is a 6'7 center from Berkeley, Michigan. She played in 18 games this season. Really, it was great to see her just out there running and being active on the court. She averaged 1.9 points, 2.2 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks in only 8 minutes. So we definitely wish Madison a speedy recovery. Just unfortunate news for a really, really good kid, a good student, just an overall good person. So we wish her well as she recovers from that. All right, and Michigan State senior forward Adrian Payne will participate in the State Farm College Slam Dunk and Three-Point Championships at 9 p.m. Thursday, tomorrow, April 3rd, at Moody Coliseum on the campus of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. Now, the 26th annual event, which will air live on ESPN, features 24 of college basketball's top dunkers and long-range shooters. Now, some of the other participants include Corey Jefferson of Baylor, Clay Anthony Early of Wichita State, Chase Fielder of Florida Gulf Coast, Marcus Lewis of Eastern Kentucky. I mean, a lot of players, a lot of studs in the college game will be competing in this one. So, again, Adrian Payne, he's in the slam dunk and three-point championships. That's tomorrow night at 9 p.m., April 3rd at Moody Coliseum in Dallas, Texas. So that should be a good one. It can be seen on ESPN. All right, and after a legal battle that lasted over a year, Desmond Howard has settled a dispute with photographer Brian Mask over the iconic 1991 photo of Howard, you know, striking the Heisman after scoring a touchdown against Ohio State. Now, Mask claimed the photo was used without permission by Sports Illustrated. Now, Amazon.com also and others used the photo without permission. That's what Mask is claiming. Howard will now get the copyright for the photo, while Mask will still benefit from its commercial use. Now, while Howard and Mask have settled, Mask's lawsuits against companies like Sports Illustrated and Amazon still stand. So how about that? That's interesting stuff. And AL Cy Young winner Max Scherzer will make his first start of the year today against the Kansas City Royals at Comerica Park. I believe that first pitch has just been thrown. The Royals will put new acquisition Jason Vargas on the mound to face Miguel Cabrera and company. Scherzer will look to continue his dominance against the Royals, going 5-0 with a 2.86 ERA against them over the past two seasons. First pitch, yeah, 108. So, yeah, that's alive and kicking right now. It's 109, so the Tigers are in action against the Royals as we speak. And the Detroit Red Wings will look to continue their playoff push tonight against the NHL's hottest team, the Boston Bruins. Detroit is currently in the top wild card spot in the Eastern Conference and may get a boost from the return of Pavel Datsyuk, a game-tying decision. Now, the Bruins are 15-0-1 in their last 16 games, but have dropped 2 of 3 to the Wings this season. Puck drops at 8 p.m. tonight. And coming off a win over the Milwaukee Bucks, the Detroit Pistons are back in action tonight against one of the Eastern Conference's best teams, the Indiana Pacers. However, the Pacers have been in a bit of a slump, to say the least. They are currently on a 3-game losing streak and have given up the top spot in the East to the Miami Heat. Tip time is set for 7 p.m. tonight at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And Detroit Pistons guard Brandon Jennings was fined $5,000 by the NBA today for violating the league's anti-flopping rules for the second time this season. Jennings fell backward Monday after bumping into Milwaukee Bucks forward Jeff Adrian after Adrian grabbed a rebound in the fourth quarter. Jennings was also warned earlier this season after falling twice in a game, December 21st, against the Houston Rockets. That's our Barbershop Wednesday topic today. What do you think of flopping in basketball? I definitely want to get your thoughts on that. Again, those who call in will automatically be entered to win a pair of tickets to the Michigan State versus Michigan softball game on Saturday or Sunday, your choice, of next week on April 12th and April 13th. So call in and give us your thoughts on that. That's our Barbershop Wednesday topic. Flopping in basketball, should players get fined? And also, there were two games that took place during the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament last night that decided the other half of the Final Four. So who would join Notre Dame and UConn? Well, I tell you what, Maryland squeaks out a close one against Louisville, 76-73, the final of that one. And also North Carolina, the team that knocked Michigan State out of the tournament, they were beaten by Stanford 74-65, the final of that one. So Stanford, Maryland, Notre Dame, and UConn round out your Final Four. Those games will take place on Sunday. The first game will be Maryland versus Notre Dame Sunday at 6:30 p.m., and right after that one at 8:30 p.m., Stanford will take on UConn. So those are your Final Four in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in again and share your thoughts on any of those, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527 and share anything that's on your mind. Again, we are doing giving away our tickets, a pair of tickets for those. Well, you'll be entered to win possibly a pair of tickets to the Michigan State versus Michigan softball game, which will be taking place on Saturday, April 12th, or on April 13th. You get to choose a day, whatever works on your schedule. If you call in, you will be entered with a chance to win those tickets, and the winners will be announced next week, Tuesday, April 8th. So definitely tune in for that. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, if you have anything that's really racking your brain in the sports world. So, all right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I'm sure many of you are starting to recognize the change in weather this week. 60 degrees both yesterday and on Monday. But you know what? If you're like me, you weren't smart because I ran outside, and I know this is how I got sick too. I'm feeling a little under the weather today because on Monday I remember running outside. I didn't have a jacket on. It was a little chilly. It was later on in the day, and I'm feeling a bit sick, folks, feeling a little bit sick. But hey, the weather's nice out there. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. And I tell you what, Monday was actually the opening day in Major League Baseball. And this week on Current Sports, we have been getting you ready for the baseball season by talking a little Tigers. We had Jesse Goldberg-Strassler also on yesterday, the play-by-play voice for the Lansing Lugnuts. And today I invite a man who has a pretty cool facility right here in Lansing, Michigan, that's dedicated to baseball training. Now, Joe McDonald is the driving force behind Capital City Baseball Kingdom, Lansing's newest indoor baseball training facility, dedicated to the development of high school, college, and professional athletes through personalized skills and training. It's great stuff. Now, Joe lettered 4 years at Western Michigan University and played 2 years in the Florida Collegiate International League and has worked in baseball training facilities since, get this, 16 years old. My goodness. Joe McDonald, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
Very well. First of all, thank you so much for joining me today. I got to ask you, when you talk about this really, really cool facility, the Capital City Baseball Kingdom facility, Joe, how in the world did you start this?
Growing up in them. I was younger growing up. The training facilities just started to kind of, everybody in the northern states knew they were falling behind if they didn't start until the weather changed. And I got involved in baseball facilities and at a young age and started training athletes when I was in high school. And I knew I wanted to continue playing baseball. And once I got done with it and playing in college, we started going full bore. And it was just the best decision to open up a facility. And, the Lansing area has the athletes and they definitely have the players. And it was just a great opportunity.
Now, Joe, you just talked about you being involved with baseball training facilities since you were 16 years old. I mean, I want to ask you, how did it help in the development of your game time over time up until now?
Oh, it helped immensely. And realistically, as a player, I never took the time to think about my own swing and my own game until I started talking to younger hitters about their own swings and their own game. You almost teach yourself a lot when you start watching other players and other hitters, and you kind of translate what you're saying into how it needs to affect your game as well.
Right, that's so true. Now, how much has a facility right now that you've started, how much is it really called on as far as popularity is concerned? Do you have a lot of athletes that currently work out there?
Yeah, we've really, really grown in popularity, and we're to the point now where we've got cages and athletes getting ready for the season every day after school, Saturdays and Sundays. We're constantly working with and facilitating team practices and camps, and we also run hitting leagues and stuff like that to get a lot of the younger kids involved. Our goal is to get the kids at a young age that are interested in baseball, that want to excel in baseball, that want more from baseball. And we want to be there to facilitate them even from a younger age all the way up into high school. There's a lot of good baseball talent and a lot of good young athletes in the area. And we want to keep them here and we want to develop them and get them as far as they want to go with their respective game.
Yeah. Now, Joe, when did you actually open up Capital City Baseball Kingdom?
It'll be 3 years this May.
Wow, that's great stuff. Now, on your website, it's really cool. If you want to know anything about Capital City Baseball Kingdom, their website tells it all. And now you guys offer pitching, hitting, catching, throwing, infield and outfield instruction, as well as video analysis. Speed, agility, and plyometric training are also available. I mean, Joe, if you look at this thing, when you first deal with an athlete as far as from the training aspect, how would you begin training an athlete, and what are some of the first steps that you all take in improving a player's overall game?
Well, when we first start, especially when they're younger like that, first and foremost, it's got to be something that they want to do over and over again. Because if they want to get to the next level and they want to be a good athlete in high school and in college, it's got to be something that they've got to dedicate and want to do from a very young age. So we try and make it fun. We try and make it competitive. But they also have to be doing it right. And that's where we really kind of break everything down with the video analysis and stuff like that. And we'll show them how they're swinging or how they're throwing and show them the correct way, the way these guys on, that they're watching on TV do it, not saying that they all do it perfect all the time. Mm. And that's also something that we deal with these guys that are 6, 7, 8 years old that want to do it like Robinson Cano or Miguel Cabrera, and it's just not feasibly possible. So we want to show them the right way, the wrong way. And the other thing that we really try and focus on is injury prevention and maintenance. Kids are training more and all the sports are becoming longer season sports, if not year-round sports. And we want to make sure that mechanically they're doing it right so there's no breakdown and there's no injuries in the future for these guys starting so early.
Joe, what's the youngest age of athlete that you guys deal with currently at Capital City Baseball Kingdom?
Oh, boy. I, we have, you know, even T-ballers coming in to work out with dad or get on a pitching machine. We start doing lessons with the kids when they're probably 5, 6, 7 years old. We run summer camps and everything else that cater to the younger ages. You know, if the kid's interested, there's something that he can be doing to get better if he wants to be doing it to get better. So we don't really try and create any age limitations on it. If they want to train, if they want to come in and hit, they're more than welcome to do so.
Oh, that's great stuff. Great stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the owner of Capital City Baseball Kingdom, Joe McDonald. It's a great training facility for, athletes of all ages to come in and train in the world of baseball. Now, what results have you all started to see from the program during these past 3 years from different athletes you all have worked with, Joe?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
What results have you started to see from some of the athletes that you guys are working with over time?
Oh, we've had real great results the last year or so. Now that we've been in Lansing established for a year or two, we have competitive summer ball travel teams, and we play a competitive fall schedule. And you know, this fall I think out of our 13 guys that we had play, you know, 7 of the seniors have committed to play at schools in and around Michigan. We had several of our kids just signed with Lansing Community College for the fall. And just the overall development of these young guys has just been so outstanding. We've been able to watch them grow up for the last 3 years. And our first travel ball team, we started at 15 3 years ago, and these guys are, you know, they're 17-year-old summer this year, and we've got great athletes and developing kids for years to come as well.
Now, you talk about playing in the fall and winter, Joe. Of course, this Michigan weather is finally starting to break a little bit, but, man, was it a rough winter. But you all have a pretty cool league that goes into the fall and winter, designed to keep player skills sharp in the offseason. I looked it up. It's called, I believe, Hitting Leagues. Can you tell folks about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually something that one of my buddies and I started doing when we were, you know, in high school. His uncle owned a facility in Midland, and he actually went to the Crosstown School. We would meet up, and we had played growing up and everything, and we started playing hitting leagues. You know? We wanted to keep swinging. We wanted to make it competitive, and we wanted to make it fun. And basically what it is, you know, bring in two teams, and it's all in the batting cages. It's off a pitching machine. You have pre-designated hitting areas. And it really teaches kids to hit the ball back up the middle, drive the ball back where it came from. And, you know, in a fun and competitive environment the way it is, the kids really seem to get into it. And, you know, we have a couple different leagues. One's an 8-week league, one's a 10-week league. And, you know, the boys are usually getting anywhere from 10 or 15, and if they swing well, up to 20 at-bats per week. So we really focus our leagues on a lot of repetition and making it competitive and putting them in a game situation, something that they're not really able to do much in the northern climate during the winter and when we have such crappy weather outside.
Right. I think that is really, really cool, Joe. That's great stuff. And you talk about your staff that works with you. Who are the other coaches and trainers that work with you and these athletes?
We have a couple different trainers here. Dan Killian is a guy that I grew up with in Midland. He's been picked up a couple times by the Tigers and has also pitched in the Nationals organization. Kyle Peters is the pitching coach over at Hazlitt and one of our summer ball coaches as well. Chad Edwards, who pitched out at Fresno State, and Kyle Monis, another Grand Ledge guy.
Wow, that's pretty impressive stuff right there. Now, like I said, you've been involved with these training facilities for quite some time, Joe. I mean, when you talk about your facility at Capital City Baseball Kingdom, what separates this facility from others you've worked in?
I think, well, we try to offer a little bit more broader range of what we can do here than some of the other facilities. You know, when I first started here, I knew how important it was in the northern climate to be able to play long toss and take a full infield. And so we strategically set up our facility to be able to house a, you know, full turf infield. So above everything else, we can get the kids taking ground balls, making long throws, and actually simulating a real game mm-hmm. in an infield setting all year long.
Right. So the facility that you guys have there right now, I mean, is it ideally a kind of a regulation-sized baseball field in there right now?
Yeah, we have a full-size turf infield along with batting cage. We have 5 batting cages and 5 pitching tunnels. We can facilitate baseball, softball, slow pitch, fast pitch, just about any type of practice or accommodations that you might need.
Wow, that is pretty cool stuff. Any pro baseball players that have ever come out and worked at the facility?
We've had I had Nate McLeod a couple years ago when we first started coming in, and we've had a couple that have played in the minors and stuff. That I've worked with, that I've played with, that are also available. I played with another Adam Rosales when I was down at Western, and he has made it up before as well.
Wow, that's really cool stuff. All right, Joe, well, how can people get interested right now? They're listening out there. How can people interested get involved and come out for a training session with you guys?
You can contact me at info@capitalcitybaseball.org. Or you can give me a shout, and the phone number here is 517-574-5967.
There you have it. Joe McDonald, owner of the Capital City Baseball Kingdom Training Facility, a really cool facility. You can also check them out on their website. Joe, thank you so much for joining me today. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
No problem. Man, yeah, if you haven't, you got to go to their website. Their website is, it lists all the information there about, the different coaches and trainers there. It's a really cool facility, and, it can really fine-tune those who are baseball fanatics and athletes trying to progress in the sport during that offseason, especially in this harsh winter. It's definitely one of those things at our gyms right here in the city of Lansing. Joe McDonald, again, owner of Capital City Baseball Kingdom. All right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about Malik McDowell. If you haven't heard, Malik McDowell, the 5-star defensive end from Southfield, Michigan, who was on the fence about coming due to his parents, not sure if they wanted their son coming to Michigan State. Well, that's all out the window, and Malik has signed with the MSU football team. We'll talk about that, and also Madison Williams, her 4th ACL tear. Can you believe that? Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Remember, we are taking your calls throughout this entire hour. And you, if you do call in, you will be entered with a chance to win 2 MSU softball tickets. As Michigan State will be taking on Michigan, yes, a rivalry matchup, on Saturday, April 12th, and also Sunday, April 13th. So if you want a chance to win 2 tickets to possibly attend either one of those games, you can do so by calling us at 517-355-9527 and giving us your thoughts on anything that we are talking about here on the show. We will announce the winner of those tickets on Tuesday, April 8th. So definitely tune in for that. And I will also be giving away 2 pairs of those tickets tonight during WKAR's TV taping of Current Sports, as I will be sitting down with Tim Bogracus, a former MSU men's basketball player, to be a part of that live studio audience. You can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. Well, Matt Luckey now joins me. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
Good, man. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day here on Current Sports. I'm still trying to fight this cold. Well, Alex right now, he's over at the Carabel Smith Center as Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU men's football team. He's addressing the media due to a pretty big signing, Matt. Malik McDowell finally has signed his national letter of intent with the Spartans. He signed it at officially 11:12 p.m. last night. That's about 45 minutes before midnight, so he got it in. Now, he still could have attended MSU without signing that national letter of intent, but this seals the deal, puts it in concrete, and it's official. Malik McDowell will be a Spartan next year. So I tell you what, Matt, first of all, I got to say I'm happy for Malik, finally, that this is finally in the books, and he is going to the school that he's always wanted to go to. I remember when this story broke and we talked about how it's really unfortunate how parents become kind of too involved in a decision as far as athletes making that jump from high school to college. Some parents just get too involved and try to just – you got to let your kid make his decision, especially something like this. If he wants to go to – first of all, he's going to college and furthering his education and doing it at a pretty good university, and his mom just had a bad experience and to the point where she didn't want her son going here. And I'm glad that Malik is – at the end of the day, it's not her decision. It was Malik's decision, and I'm happy that he finally got to sign that letter of intent. I'm sure it was a big weight off of his shoulders. When you look at this, when you talk about just signing a five-star recruit like Malik McDowell, man, this is huge for this program because, I mean, it's starting to show now that Michigan State, this program is now on the map, especially with the success they had this past season, winning a Rose Bowl. It shows that people are watching, recruits are watching, and they want to be a part of the success that D'Antonio is establishing here at this university. Again, this kid, I mean, he's not just a three-star, two-star. We're talking about a five-star recruit here. Defensive lineman, he's 6'6", 292 pounds. I got a chance to check out his – I finally watched his highlight reel before we took air today. And this kid is fast, he's quick, he's agile. He's going to be a beast for this defense that is looking to beef up now. I mean, they had a lot of seniors on this team and is looking for some players to come in and make an immediate impact. And I think McDowell is one of those freakish type of players. Just looking at what I've seen on tape, that is really going to make an immediate impact for the Spartans, Matt.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, personally, I'm just glad that it's over.
Right.
You know, the drama is done. This is one of the oddest stories in the recruiting world that I've ever encountered. And The recruiting world is a strange, strange place. I mean, this is the same, you know, business where USC briefly recruited Lil Romeo to come play basketball. Or
I remember. Players, I forgot about that.
Players commit to three schools in the same day or, you know.
Right.
Hold press conferences to announce they're attending a school that isn't even recruiting them. I mean, this is a strange world, and this still sticks out as one of the weirdest stories in recruiting history. I mean, he's such a high-profile player, and to basically have his decision be made and then just kind of be vetoed by his mom, you don't see it often. You really don't see it often. But I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that we can move on, breathe a sigh of relief. We don't have to hear, you know, a weekly story, an update on Malik McDowell. Well, we still don't know anything until August or something. So I'm glad that's out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with Malik for sticking to his guns.
I am too. That's another thing.
It's tough to kind of stand up to your parents in that scenario. So you have to respect him for sticking to his principles and you know, going where he wanted to go.
And it's crazy because, I mean, it seemed as though Dad came around.
Right.
Because Dad was at the presser when, you know, on National Signing Day. I mean, he was by his son and he stuck by his son when he announced that he was going to Michigan State. Now, I don't know if we'll ever know. I would love to have Malik's mom on this show. That'd be a great. Just to hear what went through her head, and she probably won't say what exactly happened. I just hope, Matt, that this doesn't become a distraction for Malik. Now that, you know, when he comes on his campus, you know, puts on the pads and helmets, I hope that this doesn't become a distraction media-wise, where we're starting to ask, you know, we go back to it and ask Malik, all right, Malik, what exactly happened? I hope we can just kind of put it to bed now. But still, I mean, Malik's parents are going to be at the games. They're going to be around. I feel as though it's going to resurface in some type of way. Some type of way, right?
There it is.
In some type of way, it's going to resurface. I don't know in what capacity, but it will. I just hope it doesn't become a distraction during the beginning of this year for Malik.
Yeah, it's been way too wild a ride for it to just kind of immediately dissipate go away.
Yeah, just to go away.
So
you know?
it's going to stick with him for a little bit, but I think, you know, as soon as he starts making plays on the field, it might be a freshman year type thing, you know, where his freshman season, that's kind of the main storyline, because even though he has a chance to play right away, because Michigan State lost a lot on the defensive line. I mean, Tyler Hoover, gone. Mm-hmm. Kaiser Reynolds, gone. Mark Scarpinato, gone. So they need guys and bodies in there, both on the inside and out. So I think he has a chance to play right away, but for that freshman season, I think you know, the media storyline is going to be, wow, what a crazy recruiting saga that was. But once he starts making plays on the field, then I think you'll see it kind of start to fade away.
Right. I agree with you. And you know what? This story, like I said, it was so big that I even went to, you know, sportsillustrated.com, you know, doing my daily routine of looking up the latest sports headlines, and boom, Malik McDowell signs with Michigan State right there on SI.com. It was that big, Matt. Matt, we have a caller right now, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
How you doing, man? I mean, I was just waiting before see how many people called in on the game, and all y'all doing is just nobody hardly called in on the Michigan State game. Michigan
I think everybody was so depressed that they were just kind of tired of hearing about it. Maybe, Mike.
I thought about that too. Well, I wanted to hear about, since you were talking about recruiting and everything, and also about, it's a good topic to bring up because a lot of the parents now, they figure that they have such a stake in their kids' future that they, the kids are, they smothering the kids. They smothering the men and the girls that, their choice in life, the choice where they life, where they want to go. What you think about it?
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree yeah. with you. When you look at this, Mike, this is you hit it right on the head there, because I mean there's so many parents that and even to this degree, I don't even know if we talked about this last time we talked about this, Matt, but there are so many parents out there still that kind of live vicariously through their child, and maybe that dad or that mom who didn't have a great athletic career or didn't get to a point in their life where they wanted to really take off, and they see their son or daughter with that opportunity, that they feel as though it's their opportunity. You know what I mean? And it's just too hands-on, and sometimes parents just have to learn, especially a decision like this where your son or daughter is making a decision to further their education first and foremost, and doing it where to a point where they're getting their education paid for and they get to play a sport. Oh, let them make the decision. I feel as though parents are too hands-on nowadays and too anal about that.
Completely agree. Right. And it goes beyond sports. I'm sorry, Mike, but quickly, I mean—
Let me ask you a question about NCAA sites. I know now Michigan State played in New York City, where it was not that far away from the UAM campus. And I thought about Michigan playing down in Indianapolis. That's not too far from Lexington. What is that? Do you think that's the way they vetted that process out? Do you think that if some teams are just despite how they see some teams, that some teams are going to have a home advantage, or— or it's just that it's sometimes circumstances dictate that. What's your opinion on it?
Well, I mean, I think it just happens sometimes. I mean, it's really hard when you look at it, especially talking about because you're talking about the NCAA tournament, right, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you no one predicts who is going to make it, to the Final Four or Elite Eight, unless, I always say this, only person who knows that is Jesus, and none of us are Jesus on this earth. And I tell you what, when you look at it, certain teams just make a run, and it ends up— – I mean, Michigan State, when they went to the Final Four that one time, they were in Detroit. Remember that? I mean, that, if you talk about home court advantage, I mean, that's like the ultimate home court advantage. These cats who selected locations and selected teams who make it to the tourney, they really have no idea who's going to make it far. They're just picking locations, and I think it's just the luck of the draw sometimes, Mike. It just happens that way sometimes.
All right, then. I'm going to let you go, man. One of these days, you're going to get the New York eye order back to the Rose Bowl again, are you?
What are you talking about, for the MSU football team?
Yeah, MSU football team or the basketball team get to New York. They went to the biggest cities in the United States. I thought you might have went to some of those places and see how nice people are living and everything else.
Well, I tell you what, Alex Sharg made the trip, and he said it was unlike anything he'd ever experienced. So,
all right, then. I let you move along there, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mike. Matt, you wanted to make a point about the recruiting?
Well, basically just that in the case of McDowell and players like it, where parents kind of get their hands in there, it seems like you're in a can't-lose situation. I mean, mm-hmm. His top four schools were all great schools with, great athletic programs and pretty good academic reputation. So it's not like there's a bad decision of the bunch. I feel like getting in your kid's head and trying to make the decision for him is a total mistake.
Right.
And especially in a situation like this where it's such a positive thing. Like you said, you're getting a free education at a premier university no matter where he chose to go. Mm-hmm. Why would you have a problem with any of those choices is beyond me.
Exactly. And like I said, I'm curious to— – I would love to talk to his mom just to ask her what exactly happened here at Michigan State, just to— – because that's what kind of fueled her dislike for Michigan State University. I don't know. There's a lot of rumors that swirl out there. I won't bring any of them up because none of them have any validation behind any of
right.
them. So, all right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk Madison Williams. Madison Williams, she's such a really, really just classy individual. She's a member of the MSU women's basketball team. If you haven't heard, she suffered her fourth ACL tear. Oh, man. We'll talk about that and also our Barbershop Wednesday topic. If you call in, you will automatically be entered with a chance to win two tickets to the Michigan State-Michigan softball game, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about flopping. Should players get fined for flopping? Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, Matt Luckey also joins me right now. I tell you what, Matt, I hate when I heard this story, I had to look twice at my email because I got an email from Jim Donatelli, who is the head of MSU Athletic Communications for the MSU women's basketball team. And he sent out an email around, I want to say, about 8 o'clock last night. And I was checking my email, doing some work at home. And I saw that Michigan State women's basketball redshirt junior Madison Williams suffered a tear of her ACL for not the first time, not the second time, not the third time, but for the fourth time. Matt, I could not believe it. The surgery was performed last week on the 27th. Typical recovery time is around 4 to 6 months. Again, this is her fourth ACL injury for Madison Williams. She is a, I tell you what, she was an unbelievable player in high school, Matt. She's 6'7", 6'7", from Berkeley, Michigan. She played. She had a pretty decent season as far as just being out there and playing. It was just good to see Madison just play. She played in 18 games this year, and gave the team some good minutes here and there. But I tell you what, this is so unfortunate for a player who is so. I mean, if you talk to Madison off the court, she is so, even during the game. I mean, just a good person. You know, so humble, so giving. And just very appreciative for the opportunity to even be at Michigan State and playing. And it was great to see her out there on the court. I mean, she had a big smile on her face. And I remember the game that she actually returned this season, her first time, and I don't know how long. The fans at the Breslin Center gave her a standing ovation. It was a touching moment. And it seemed as though game by game, as she started to get, you know, she played about 8 minutes, you know, throughout the entire season, but every time that she played, I mean, it was just a great moment because it seemed as though it brought the team together. Seeing Madison, who had struggled for so long, just to get back in shape and back healthy again to get back out there. And to hear this, I think, you know, I think she's done now. I mean, you talk about four ACL injuries now, Matt. I mean, that's hard to come back from. I mean, I let alone three, let alone two. I mean, I thought she was done after two, but four now. I just don't see her coming back, man. I really wish, I would love to see her back out there on the court again. It was great to see her back out there this season, but when you talk about four ACL injuries, I just can't fathom her even coming back on the court.
It's heartbreaking. I mean, it really is. No one deserves that kind of injury struggle. I mean, no one. I don't care who you are. And to have it be a player of her caliber and obviously her spirit, you have to be upbeat and resilient to come back after one ACL injury, let alone, you know, three and now four.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible. The standing O is warranted because, you know, the amount of work that goes into getting yourself back into shape with an injury like that is ridiculous. And to have to do it over and over, it seems like every year.
Every year.
I mean.
Exactly. It's crazy.
It's heartbreaking. It's really sad.
It definitely is. We definitely wish Madison the best. And again, you know, I always say when I look at Madison Williams, because she's 6'7". When you see her out there on the court, I mean, she towers above everybody else on the court that she plays. And it's like, you know, looking at the career that she had in high school, I always say, what if, you know, with Madison Williams? If she would have stayed healthy, I think she could have been just a dominant force. And seeing, you know, potential that she had in high school, of course, she went to Detroit Country Day. She was a great player at Country Day and really turned a lot of heads. Really big pickup for Susie Merchant when she signed her. I mean, that was one of the talk of the towns when you talk about recruiting for that squad. And, you know, and to see what happened her first year, details have not been released on exactly what happened and how she tore that ACL. I'm assuming maybe in practice or something. I have no idea. But, you know, I always say what if with Madison Williams, because she could have been, I think, one of the unbelievable stories, not just for her comeback, but just you talk about a 6'7 player in women's college basketball. You don't hear about that often. You know what I mean? I mean, it's really sad.
No, like I mean, that's like Brittany Griner size.
Right, exactly. You know? Crazy.
And to have that on a team like Michigan State, who prides himself on defense, would have been a game changer. I mean,
right.
It definitely could have potentially changed the course of the program and maybe accelerated that rise to the top.
Right.
It's always a thing with you know, centers and forwards in basketball. There's always that.
It's tough on your knees,
that,
man.
That pause where you're just worried. Because it's so easy for people that size to break down in ways like this. I mean,
right.
Greg Oden. Look at Greg Oden.
Perfect
I mean, it
example.
Took him 5 years, and he's finally coming back, and now he's playing, you know, bench minutes with the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like people still, when they watch Greg Oden, are waiting for the other shoe to drop and for him to get hurt again, just because we've become so accustumed to it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Sam Bowie.
Sam Bowie is
exactly.
A big one.
Getting drafted before
him.
Jordan and
yeah.
couldn't stay on the court. I mean,
yep.
Bill Walton could have been one of the greatest, you know, top 10 NBA player of
right.
all time.
Right.
Couldn't stay healthy. So
look at Greg Kelcer. Keeping it local.
I mean,
keep going and going, you know.
You know, to have a career, you know, obviously it takes a lot of hard work and dedication, but it's also a little bit of luck.
Right.
And it just hasn't been on her side. I think it's the worst part of it is that she had so much potential and she didn't even get to show it at the college level.
Right.
You know, it's one thing maybe if she goes pro. Plays for a few years, and then the injuries start to set in. But to be cut down at the college level, you know, every single year of your college career.
It's tough.
That's a lot to take.
Like I said, if it could have happened, that, like you said, you have to, it all depends on attitude with this. After, like I said, not one, not two, not three, but four now. The way she came and approached each injury with positivity. I mean, we would talk to Madison, you know, after, you know, tearing her ACL, and she would say, I'm going to come back, you know, I'm staying positive, with a smile on her face the entire interview. I mean, to have that type of attitude is big, and that's, I mean, you gotta tip your hat to that. Madison Williams, she's such a sweetheart, and we definitely wish her the best, because it's really unfortunate. With four now, it's going to be really tough, Matt. It's going to be really, really tough. Again, 4 to 6 months, we may see her back, but, man, I'm sure, and you talk about the psychology behind an ACL injury. Even though she may come back and may step back on that court, you better believe it's going to be in the back of her head all the time. If it wasn't after the third time, you know what I mean? And that's the psychology you deal with when you talk about an ACL injury. So, oh boy, wish her the best. All right, Matt. Well, our Barbershop Wednesday topic for today, if you haven't heard, the reason why I want to bring this up, Matt, is because Brandon Jennings was actually fined this week. $5,000 by the NBA for violating the league's anti-flopping rules for the second time this season. Now, if you didn't see it, Jennings fell backward. This is on Monday during the Milwaukee Bucks game. He fell backwards after bumping into Bucks forward Jeff Adrian after Adrian grabbed a rebound in the fourth quarter. Jennings was warned earlier this season after falling twice in a game on December 21st against the Houston Rockets. We've seen multiple instances throughout the NBA these past few seasons of players flopping and getting reprimanded by the league for that. So our Barbershop Wednesday question deals with flopping, and should players get fined for it? Again, you can call in. We have about 10 minutes left on the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I tell you what, Matt, when you talk about flopping, I used to look at flopping and look at certain guys who were really good at it. The really ideal player that I bring up that really introduced me to flopping had to be Reggie Miller. Reggie. Reggie was such a smart, crafty individual. Of course, we all know Reggie. He's the orchestrator of the kick out your leg when you're shooting a three ball and fall on the ground and hope to get a foul play. Reggie had all these quirks and different tricks that he would try, and they would work. And originally when I saw, you know, Reggie would fly from time to time and get calls about it, back in his playing career, but, you know, like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I would see Reggie pull off something like that, I used to look at it as kind of an art and kind of crafty. That's the way I used to look at it. I would say, man, it's pretty smart to try to, you know, to pull something like that off. You know
right,
what I mean?
It's part of the game.
It's part of the game, exactly. But for me, when I started to have a problem with it was when it started to run rampant and everyone and their mama started to flop and really act. And it's like I can't turn on an NBA game. I can't go 1 week without turning on an NBA game and not seeing some sort of acting job by at least one player in the league trying to get a call. And sometimes, you know, the refs buy into it, and sometimes they do get the call. And for me, it's become so out of control where everyone's starting to do it. I mean, you even got the best player in the league in LeBron James, who I don't know if you've seen the new trend now the kids are doing, but it's called LeBroning. I don't know if you have you seen that at all,
man?
I'll show it on YouTube after the show, but kids right now are doing this whole trend called LeBroning where they're just walking down the hallway. And, you know, if somebody's coming the opposite way of you, you just fall out and just like a train just hit you. It's hilarious. You got to see it. But you even got the best player in the game who's known for it right now, known for flopping. I mean, it's become so rampant in the league that something I think needs to be done because I think it's hurting the brand of the NBA now. And I agree. I mean, the only way these players are going to stop is you got to hit them in the pocketbook. And finding them, if that's what it's gonna take to try to alleviate this problem to a certain degree, I say why not?
Yeah, I have to agree. And you know, the one thing I'll say, maybe in player's defense, maybe like a LeBron specifically, mm-hmm. is LeBron is so strong, and he gets hit so hard throughout a game that if he doesn't make a huge deal of it, and you know, kind of dramatize the situation, maybe it doesn't get called, and maybe he's feeling like he's getting disrespected and not getting, you know, the same treatment that everybody else does. I mean, remember, Shaquille O'Neal used to just outweigh guys by 80 pounds, and people would be hacking and slashing at him all they wanted.
Yeah, they would.
And sometimes he wouldn't get the call. And you know, Dwight Howard is a victim of the same thing. But at the same time,
So you're saying sometimes size factors in.
Like Brandon Jennings, I can see easily fooling refs because he is 165 pounds sopping wet. But Reggie Evans is a 250-pound monster.
Right.
I can see him maybe getting, you know, a couple of jabs.
So you think they have to flop sometimes? I think sometimes they're trying to even things.
Yeah, I do. I think sometimes they're making a point, but it, like you said, it's gotten to the point where it's just out of hand.
Right.
I mean, it's just too much. And the one thing we hate about basketball specifically is when refs kind of insert themselves into the game and factor into the outcome of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hates that. So I think it's terrible that players can kind of put the refs in a tough position where they almost have to make a call. So it's like anything we can do to kind of alleviate the stress of that, to push the refs farther out of being a factor into the game, the better.
Right.
And I think fining does that because not only are you hitting them in their pocketbooks, you're also, you know, putting them in the headlines in a negative way. Nobody wanted to, you know, Reggie Evans was the first guy fined for flopping. Nobody wanted that dubious distinction. Nobody wants to be Brandon Jennings right now making headlines for being a flopper. It's not a good look.
It's not.
I don't think NBA players want to be associated with it.
No, it hurts the game. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing with me. It takes away
from the integrity of the game.
It does. And, you know, you talk about the NBA. I mean, every time I try, because I love the NBA. I mean, the NBA is the premier sports that I grew up on. My dad was a huge NBA guy. And now you talk to people who, for me, a lot of my friends who are like huge, you know, and grandly so, because I'm a huge college basketball fan too. When you compare the NBA to college basketball, they feel as though it's more entertaining due to the effort that's shown throughout an entire year, not just, you know, we talk about the NBA. The NBA has a stipulation of turning up during playoff time, during around this time where teams are trying to fight for their playoff lives. And then you still have a few teams out there who may be, you know, tanking to try to get a high draft pick in the lottery.
Philly.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Oh, yeah. Philly's definitely, without a doubt. But, I mean, the integrity of the league is already taking hits in that regard, and now you add this on top of it, it's not a good look. And if you're, you know, the commissioner of the NBA, you got to do something about it. And I believe fining individuals for doing this does kind of send a message to those out there. Now, will it stop? I don't think it will. I think that it's – and, you know, I kind of blame – I always go back in time a little bit. I go to the Michael Jordan era. Like the Michael Jordan era was kind of that era in the 90s where the essence of the NBA as far as superstars were looked at started to change in a way because Mike got away with a lot of things. Let's be honest here. Even though I think Mike is the greatest of all time, he got away with calls left and right, and he would argue those calls, and the refs, you know, he's Michael Jordan. I mean, who you going to argue with Michael Jordan? I mean, and sometimes he would get away with a lot of things. And in a way, the league has become a victim of its own success in that regard because Michael, I think, put the game on another plateau as far as not only in the USA but internationally as well. And so did other players, but Michael kind of took it to another level. And I think that the NBA started to worship superstars so much and what they could do offensively so much that the way the game was officiated started to cater towards their play, to the point where no matter what the call, if it went the other way, if a superstar tried to argue with you about it, I think that the refs kind of lean towards that superstar's way to sort of protect the game and keep them in the game. If they're in the game, ratings go up. That's the business of the NBA. So I think it's, in a way, a victim of its own success in that regard, Matt.
I can see that. I mean, they wrote the book The Jordan Rules for a reason.
Exactly.
I mean, people were angry about how he maybe got away with things, and rightfully so, because he did. And if you are a ref, are you really going to argue with Michael Jordan, the most intimidating figure in the sport, maybe in sports in general?
Yeah.
So it's you know, forgivable for them not to have quite as much backbone against that, but I do see it as the league being a victim of its own success. It is a star-driven league. Mm-hmm. I mean, more so than any other sport, the visibility of basketball players is higher than any other sport.
Another level. I agree.
Absolutely. So, you know, it is a star-driven league. That's what generates profits for them. But at the same time,
there's a fine line.
Exactly. And they've crossed it. And I'd say it even extends into the college game. I mean, all you had to do is look at Indiana basketball last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cody Zeller. Remember the Derek Nix incident?
I do remember
that. You know, that kind of stuff happens.
It does happen.
And, you know, Will Sheehy, I remember later in the year, faked taking an elbow at Minnesota and was down on the ground for 2.5 minutes. And it just seems like that kind of stuff does not belong in the game.
No,
like,
not
get
at
it
all.
Out.
It's like soccer. You ever seen those soccer players who just, like, fake an injury?
Oh, yeah.
And they go down.
And it's like, if you don't find them, what's stopping them from doing it? Because the chance that they do get the call,
right,
it's worth it. I mean, maybe this way, you know, coaches might still try and get their guys to, hey, you know,
do something.
Maybe
yeah,
add a little something.
Give me some
to
time.
This.
Oh, yeah. The Jason Kidd running to me, spill my drink.
Goodness, don't even get me started on that. But you know, if a coach is asking you to do this, but you know you're going to get fined and be in the press for a bad reason, maybe you're less apt to do it. So I think, and you know, maybe the other alternative would be to go to the tape and look at a call, but.
Yeah.
I think the problems with replay in general are bad enough in terms of slowing down the pace of the game that I think that would open up a whole other can of worms where you'd have to go to every block charge and say, well, is it a block or a charge, or was he flopping or this or that? So I think that's not going to happen. I think fining is maybe the most you can do to curb this problem. I think it's a good step.
I think it is too. And hit him. You know, athletes seem to tend to respond when their pocketbooks are in jeopardy, and I think doing that is the right way to do it. So I definitely agree with it. All right, and also, Matt, you know, you brought up replay. I mean, I believe on opening day there were about three calls that went to the booth, and I think two of them were overturned. And it's just so fierce because I think it was a joke on the radio the other day. I forget what I was listening to, but the only call out of the three calls that were called, one was overturned, and the Chicago Cubs have now the honor of being that team which the call was overturned in a negative way. So it figures the Chicago Cubs of all teams. The Chicago Cubs are so bad, man.
Al, when it rains, it pours.
It does.
And it's been raining on the Cubs for, I don't know, maybe 105 years, something like that.
Something like that, around there. Oh man, bad. All right. Hey, happy bye for real. I love this. All right, but thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE's Lansing. Again, we tape WKR-TV tonight. Be a part of the live studio audience by signing up on WKR.org. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day. And be easy, people.